Your dad was John McCain.
Yes. My dad was a huge music fan. I'm going to tell you right now, my dad loved Willie Nelson. And people are like, you can't say he liked Willie Nelson because he dodged his taxes, blah, blah, blah. Well, he loved Willie Nelson. He did.
Everybody thinks they can do it. How can I become a professional wrestler? You really can't.
I pulled out the gun and I shot two times.
We have a complicated family. We were all raised to argue with each other with intensity, with passion, but also to love each other.
This is WTMJ Conversations.
Welcome to WTMJ Conversations. I'm your host, Libby Collins. Many were surprised when Alicia Halvenslaven was the first Democrat elected as Waukesha's mayor. She begins her term this week. And Alicia, here you are, the new mayor of the seventh largest city in the state. Do you ever take a step back and think, wow, this is kind of a big deal?
Yeah, I do. I know that this is something that's really important. I recognize that while Waukesha has this great small town feel, that it is still a large city. We have all of the large city and urban amenities, and that also comes with some of the challenges of being a larger city. And I'm ready to tackle that. But yeah, I realize this is no small feat. This is a big deal.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit about you, because you're not originally from Waukesha. Where did you grow up?
Yeah, so that's a bit of a complicated question. I was originally born in Madison, if you were to pull out my birth certificate. But my parents moved to the town where my dad is from, which is Evansville, Wisconsin. And shortly, like right around the time that my parents' divorce was finalized, when I was about 10 years old, my mom moved us to Milwaukee, which is where she's originally from. And I grew up in Milwaukee. I went to college in Beloit, Wisconsin, moved back to Milwaukee. And shortly into kind of my quote-unquote adult life, I moved out to Waukesha, absolutely fell in love with it, decided this is where I'm staying, this is my forever home. And ultimately, if you add up all of the years in my various places that I've lived, Waukesha is the place that I've lived the longest.
Now, you grew up, like you said, your parents were divorced, so that had to be kind of difficult for you. But what kind of a kid were you?
Sure. Well, I was kind of a nerdy kid, but I think I had some really great experiences that lend themselves well to being able to talk to people from various backgrounds. So I mentioned that my dad lived in Evansville, Wisconsin. He still does. And so I had kind of that small town and some country living. I spent a lot of my summers on my grandparents' farm raising chickens and throwing hay bales around. So that was a unique experience, that small town and farm life. But then I was in the big city. I went to Rufus King High School. So I had that big city experience as well. But what does that mean for me? It means that I can be in a room with people from a variety of different backgrounds and still have something that I can talk to people about, which I think is really good, especially if you want to serve all people, which is something that I want to do as the mayor of Waukesha. This isn't about representing one demographic. It's about representing everybody.
So when you were a kid, were you the one running for student council and organizing things and being a leader in the school?
Yeah, a little bit of that, yes. I was on the forensics and debate team when I was in middle and high school. And when I got to college, I did run for a couple of all-campus elected positions, including one that I ran my election while I was still in Germany studying abroad and was elected. I was the assistant treasurer and funding board director when I was in college, which, again, has allowed me to have those leadership skills as well as the skills to run a meeting, understand Robert's Rules of Order, you know, all those nerdy things that are necessary, though. To be a good mayor.
When you got out of college, what was your career path?
So the economy was still trying to recover from 2008, and I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do, and I really didn't know. I was like, what do you do after college? How do you become an adult? And so my mom said, well, just start applying for jobs. I knew that I didn't want to have to stay living at my mom's house forever. So I started applying for sales jobs. I knew that my first real job at Walgreens when I was in high school, I was the top salesperson at the front area asking if you wanted to buy those candy bars that you never want to buy, but you're like, yeah, they sound pretty good. So I would ask every single person, would you like to buy a candy bar? Most of them said no, but some of them said yes. And so I kind of got to the top of the scale there. So I was like, okay, well, if I can do that, I bet I can sell something else. So I started selling cars, actually. That was my first sales job. And I've been in sales for the last 15 years in a variety of ways, and now I'm in the mayor's office.
Yeah, that's interesting because usually you think of people in the car business not as being female. Mm-hmm. You jumped right into a male-oriented business.
I did, yeah. And it was different. And I'll be honest, I didn't know a whole lot about cars when I got in. But I'm the kind of person that really likes to learn. So I read all of the little brochures. I took all the classes online. I went to different things for the company that I was working for that were off-site training opportunities. I wanted to make sure that I was doing a good job. Every job that I've ever had, I've tried to really throw myself into it to make sure that I'm doing the job to the best of my abilities. And so that's what I did when I was selling cars. And the only reason I really left was because I wanted my weekends back. I was missing baby showers and bridal showers and things like that. So I wanted my Saturdays back. I got into a more inside sales role so that I could work more of that Monday through Friday.
What did you learn about people when you were in sales, particularly in the car dealership? I find that very interesting because you run across a lot of different people in a lot of situations in that business.
Yeah, you do. And I think this is where some of that being able to talk to anybody from any background really helped me. But yeah, you learn a lot about people, a lot about, you know, when somebody's coming in for a car, there's a lot of different reasons why they might be looking for a car. Maybe they're just looking for an upgrade. Maybe their car broke down and they're desperate. So sometimes you see people when they're on top of the world because there's been a financial windfall and they're in great shape to upgrade their car. And sometimes you're seeing people when they are truly at a low point in their life and really desperate and need to get a car right away. And I was able to navigate that and help them through that process. And one of the things that I've always thought about sales is a good salesperson isn't trying to sell you something, isn't trying to upsell you on something. They're trying to help you to solve a problem. So if you come into a dealership or you call me up at my outgoing job, which is a commercial and industrial distributor, you usually are coming in or calling me because you need something and you need somebody to help you get that, whether it's a car or in my most recent job, some pallet racking. So whatever it might be, I wanted to make sure that I was solving the problem that you had. You were missing something and I wanted to make sure that you got it and got what was going to fit right for you.
Coming up on WTMJ Conversations.
People were like, well, you know what's going on with the city. You understand. You know who to call if there's an issue. You should be the alder person.
Waukesha Mayor Alicia Halvinslaven tells us how many times a woman needs to be asked before she runs for office.
Now, more of WTMJ Conversations.
Welcome back. I'm Libby Collins. We're talking with new Waukesha Mayor Alicia Halvinslaven. You said you decided to move to Waukesha, and you immediately loved that community.
Yeah.
How involved did you get with the community early on? Because you've been there, what, 12 years?
Almost 13, about 13. Yeah, a little over 13 years now. I initially just thought, okay, this is where I live. Didn't necessarily jump right into any specific thing, but I started going to community events because I think that's a really great way to learn about your community, to find your place in that community. So I started going to things like our wonderful farmers market and seeing all of the great vendors, small businesses. So farmers markets aren't just about vegetables anymore, right? There's all these cool local businesses that you can check out. So it was a really great opportunity for me to see those things. I also really enjoy our art and music scene in Waukesha. And so I made a point to start going to things like Friday Night Live, where we have all of these live music opportunities all over the street every Friday. And I was like, wow, there's literally something to do every week. I don't have to wait for Summerfest or State Fair. Every week I have something I can do. So I really loved that. We have Tribute Tuesday. We have civic band concerts. We have the art crawls. There's just so many things. And it's not just in the summer. We have the jamboree in the wintertime, right smack dab in the middle of winter. And so I just felt like I was never bored. There was always something to do.
When did you start to get involved in the community itself as a volunteer?
Yeah, absolutely. So I started doing a lot more volunteer work, specifically with the Democratic Party, probably around 2017. I decided that I saw the direction that my country was going, and I thought, I need to do something about this. So I got more involved with the Democratic Party, really threw myself into that, which then lent itself to understanding what was going on locally even more. I think that a lot of people, they see the news, and this isn't to criticize the news, but national news, you know, we've got these huge headlines, especially lately. And so a lot of folks, when they're interacting with politics or with government. They see national news first. They might even see some of that state level news, but it's the local stuff that I think it's almost harder to engage with, even though it's the thing that affects you on a day-to-day basis, right? If you need a stop sign on your street, that's your local government that makes that happen. And so I started seeing what it would take if we needed a stop sign or if we needed to change up parking rules on a street. I started engaging with that a little bit more too. And then as we were coming out of the pandemic, I thought, well, maybe this is my moment to really step up and say, I'm going to actually run for office. It's not something that I ever thought I would do. I was interested in politics from a young age, but I always thought I would help other people. But after a while, people were like, well, you know what's going on with the city. You understand. You know who to call if there's an issue. You should be the alder person. You can help others to do this, too. And they say women have to be asked 7 times before they will actually run for office. And I think I was probably asked like 14 times before I finally said, OK, I might do this. So I took a class on how to run for office. I had never run
for
office before.
Wait, they have classes for that?
For that. Yeah. That just kind of walk you through, like, what do you need? You know, you want to make sure that you're knocking plenty of doors and talking to your neighbors, but there's more to it than that. You have to have something in your hand to hand them, especially if they don't answer. You want to leave something behind, and how to create that, who to talk to get that done, how to work with a printer, those sorts of things, like those little things that you don't necessarily always think about. I needed to learn how to do that. And by the time I was done with this class, I felt like I knew what I was doing. I had kind of a campaign already somewhat put together. And so I ran for alder the following spring. And I won. And I was, I don't know if I was surprised so much as I was really excited to be able to step up and serve my community in another way.
Had you been going to the Common Council meetings prior to that?
So I had either been attending in person or watching virtually. And I believe even before the pandemic, we had that option to watch them virtually for quite a while. But during the pandemic, of course, most people were doing everything virtually. So it was another way to be able to still stay engaged. But yeah, I was either attending in person or virtually for quite a while before that.
So once you were on the council, you kind of knew how things worked.
A little bit.
Surprised you?
I think something, and I don't know if this truly surprised me so much as you realize just how much of the conversation also happens outside of a council meeting. And that's not to say it happens behind closed doors, but to kind of know the full process, because a lot of the conversations, a lot of the questions get asked at committee meetings. I think a really good example of this is our finance committee, because a budget is a really big thing for our city. And it's presented to the whole council, and the whole council gets a chance to look at it and go through everything. But ultimately, we spend hours and hours and hours as the finance committee going through every little line, making sure that we're meeting with all of the different departments so we have a good understanding of what's going into the budget, why we decided to keep this thing in, why we decided maybe not to keep this other thing in. And so those are really long conversations. So somebody who's just watching, say, a council meeting, either in person or virtually at home, they might see a conversation about the budget only last half hour to an hour at the council meeting. But unless you're watching the 3-hour finance committee meetings over several weeks, where not just the finance committee members are there, but also additional alders, if they have questions specific to the budget, we're all potentially part of that conversation ahead of time. And I think that it's really important for people, especially when they're thinking about local government, but even at the state and national level, right? A lot of conversations happen in those committees. And one of the things that I really love about Waukesha, at least, is that we make sure that that is in the open. I always talk about transparency. To me, that's really important. I want people to feel like they can engage. But I also know that there's an education component to that. And me telling people, hey, in addition to those council meetings, check out our committee meetings too.
Coming up on WTMJ Conversations.
Well, I don't have as much experience. But again, you know, if somebody asks, you say, well, all right, sure, maybe I would consider it.
The new mayor of Waukesha tells us exactly when she began to think about running for that office.
You're listening to WTMJ Conversations.
I'm your host, Libby Collins. Let's return to our conversation with Waukesha Mayor Alicia Helvensleben. You were only on the council 2 years when you became president of the Common Council. How did that all come about?
Yeah, so the way that we elect a Common Council president is the actual council members elect the Common Council president. And so it was 2 years into my first term, which is a 3-year term, we had been asking, okay, who might be interested? And a couple of people asked, hey, would you be interested? And I was like, well, I don't have as much experience. But again, you know, if somebody asks, you say, well, all right, sure, maybe I would consider it. So another council member nominated me, and the majority of the council voted me in. When it came time again the following year, it was apparently it was still me. And so that to me says a lot about the trust that my fellow council members put in my abilities.
What was your impression of being in that position? Obviously, it had more responsibility than mm-hmm. you had as an alderperson. Again, I'm going to ask you that same question. Was there anything that surprised you?
So one of the main purposes of having a Common Council president is to make sure that somebody can step in if the mayor isn't available. Generally, that just means if the mayor is going on vacation that you're able to step in, handle things. But mostly it's to run the council meeting if the mayor's not available to do so. One of the things that I maybe didn't anticipate, but was happy to step up, was sometimes you have to have tougher conversations, show that leadership, united front with the mayor, just to say, hey, this is what's going on with this committee, or this is what's going on with the council. Let's have a chat, maybe with another council member about the way that we want to handle things. And I don't want to get into too many details there. But, you know, sometimes we have to make sure that we are conducting ourselves in a very professional manner. And sometimes
you're dealing with personalities.
Right, yeah. Right, exactly. And so you want to make sure that you're having those sometimes tougher conversations to say, hey, you know, we want to make sure that we are putting our best foot forward as a city. And as an elected official, we all have to make sure that we're putting our best foot forward.
At what point did you begin to think, I've sat in for the mayor. I could be mayor.
So this is another one where I feel like somebody has to ask you. And so, yeah, I had been sitting there for 2 years as the Common Council president and thinking, well, I feel like I'm doing a pretty good job at this part. And I have been working with the mayor and the city administrator and the rest of the council here for 4 years. And I've gained a lot of experience. And I knew that the outgoing mayor, today's his last day. But the outgoing mayor, I knew he wasn't running again. And so I knew that it was an open seat. But I also knew that I was relatively young. I had 4 years of experience on the council, but I didn't have 20. And so I wasn't sure. I was like, is this the right moment for me? And it was when people started calling my phone that I said, okay, I think that this is the right moment. There was always something in the back of my head that said, maybe someday. I don't think that I knew that someday would be tomorrow. But here we are. I decided after multiple people called me, after having conversations with my then fiance, now husband, is this what we really want to do for us and for our family? Is this something that we want to do right after getting married? And we decided that, yeah. And for me, it wasn't just about what's right for me and for my family, but also what's right for the city. And I knew that we needed good leadership after our outgoing mayor, who's had such a great time there.
Well, you bring that up because mm-hmm. you are a newlywed.
Mm-hmm.
And election season started right at the time as you were planning a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel a little bit overwhelmed?
Yeah, a little bit overwhelmed.
How did you maneuver all of that? Because, you know, when you plan a wedding, it's all going on the bride.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
doing all the work.
Oh, yeah.
So you had that. You have a campaign running for mayor of the 7th largest city in the state of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
How did you handle it? I mean, at any point did you think, why am I doing this?
I think that if you run for office and at no point you say, why am I doing this? I can't believe that you're running for office, because I think everybody has that moment. But that said, I have an amazing partner. My husband, Kevin, is wonderful. He's very supportive. He did really step up both with the wedding, but also with campaign stuff. And I have to give a shout out to my campaign manager. Her name is Sarah. She was both in my wedding and my campaign manager. So she did quite a bit in both.
She probably was more nervous about things than you were.
She is truly great. She's been a good friend of mine for a long time. And so for her to help me both with the wedding and then also step up and be my campaign manager has been really amazing. I don't think that I could have done it without the amazing support of both my husband and my friends, my campaign manager, and all of the wonderful supporters that I've met along the way.
But it was a tough election.
It was, yeah.
I mean, did you always feel, I'm going to pull this off? Because here you were, as you said, you've been active in the Democratic Party now for about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Waukesha County is certainly a red county. Waukesha has leaned the city towards being Republican. It had to be difficult for you walking that tightrope, knowing that most of the people out there probably wouldn't have voted for a Democrat.
Yeah, I think that one of the really important things to note about the city of Waukesha especially is that things have certainly shifted over the last 10 years. You know, in the time that I've been in Waukesha, the types of conversations that you're having, if you're out at a community event, those have really shifted pretty dramatically.
In what way?
You know, it used to be that you would, if you're having a conversation, you could assume that the person you're talking to is a Republican. That was a pretty safe assumption. Now, I don't necessarily have that as much. And I don't know exactly why or what's definitely changed. But what I can say is that when we were running this campaign, to me, it was really not necessarily about Democrat and Republican. Of course, I'm a Democrat. Of course, my opponent was a Republican. But for me personally, that's not what it should be about. And that's not what I was trying to make it about. I really wanted to make sure that we were putting the people of Waukesha first, that we had a good leader that was going to fight for our residents. And I knew that that could be me. And I knew that for a lot of people, they're going to hear that message, and that could potentially sway them to my side. But I also know that a lot of people go into that ballot box. They know there's a Republican candidate and a Democratic candidate, and they're going to choose one or the other based on that and that alone. But what I think is really key is that I don't think that the city is truly 50% Republican and 50% Democrat. I think that maybe it's somewhere like 45 and 45 or 40 and 40 even, and you have a good group of people in the middle that really want to hear exactly what the candidate is saying, and they want to choose the candidate that's going to be right for them. And I think that what we're starting to see in the city of Waukesha, but to a certain degree, Waukesha County as a whole, statewide and even nationwide, that people are starting to reject extremist agendas, especially that extreme Republican agenda. I don't think that people see how that is going to help them, especially at a local level. For me, this was about making sure that we can have a balanced budget while still maintaining services. And I wasn't trying to push some sort of Democratic agenda. I just wanted to make sure that the people in Waukesha could love all of the things that made me fall in love with Waukesha.
Still ahead on WTMJ Conversations.
I've got some congratulatory calls from some big folks, which is really exciting.
Waukesha Mayor Alicia Halvinslaven reveals what Democratic official gave her his personal cell phone.
Now, more of WTMJ Conversations.
And I'm Libby Collins. Our guest today is new Waukesha Mayor Alicia Halvinslaven. I read somewhere that you knocked down 3,000 doors?
So it's about 1,000 doors and 3,000 phone calls.
All right. That's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people.
You were in sales.
Yeah.
Especially car sales. I mean, that's a tough, tough business.
It is, yeah.
How many people were slamming the door, hitting the phone down, telling you not interested? I mean, that, just from an ego standpoint, that's got to be tough.
Sure. You know, one of the things that you have to be good at with sales is being able to hear no and keep going. And I think that if I go back to that story about Walgreens, I would ask every single customer if they wanted a candy bar. And you know, 95% of people say no, they resist that candy. But for those that said yes, that was really exciting. And I'm going to tell you, I had a much better percentage of people say yes this time around, right, than on my candy bars back in Walgreens days. So mostly people are pretty nice, especially at a door. When you talk to somebody face to face, people value that. I think that they see you're really putting in the work. You do want to hear from people. So even the few people that said, no, I've already decided and you're not my candidate, they were still relatively polite. I think in the whole cycle, maybe one person kind of closed the door before I could say much. But generally, people are pretty polite. on the phone. I maybe had a couple of people that hung up, but also we know we get a lot of political calls nowadays. And so, you know, it might not have been me per se. It was just, oh, another political call and hanging up. But overall, no, I think that people don't want to be mean to each other.
Nearly 20,000 people turned out at the polls, and that's mm-hmm. in, what, a community of 72,000.
Yep.
You won by, what was it, 450 votes?
Yeah, a little less than 500 votes, yeah.
How surprised were you?
Well, I think that if you're looking at trends in the city, and especially in spring races, we knew that it was going to probably be tight. And we knew that my opponent was working and I was working really hard. But we knew that every single district needed to be reported before we did any sort of celebrating. Because while I was ahead throughout the night, we knew that any one district could make or break the campaign. So, you know, a tight election just means that people were really putting in a lot of thought, making sure that they picked the right candidate. But it also means that as the next mayor, I have to make sure that I'm thinking about everyone, not just the 51% of people who voted for me, but making sure that I'm representing everybody.
But it was such a big deal. I mean, you made national news. The New York Times wrote about you.
I did. Yes. Yeah, they did. And shout out to my friend in New York who emailed or who mailed me a physical copy. So thank you for that. Yeah, it was a big deal. I think that when you really look at the full history, especially of Waukesha County as a whole, it was really unexpected. But I also think that when we're thinking about the country as a whole and which direction are we going, I think that a lot of people are trying to extrapolate out what happens in Waukesha County and, you know, there goes the nation, right? And there's always been kind of this thing about Waukesha County being crucial. And I think that it is, especially when we're thinking about statewide races heading into the midterms and what that's going to mean. Yeah, I think people were trying to figure out, okay, what does this race mean?
Well, I would think that this election raises your profile within the Democratic Party quite a bit, does it not?
I would think so, yes. I have gotten some calls. I had Ken Martin, actually, DNC chair, give me a call to congratulate me. So now I have his number. But yeah, I got some congratulatory calls from some big folks, which is really exciting. But for me, this wasn't necessarily about raising my profile. I really did want to make sure that I was serving my constituents. And I don't know if I really realized that if I won, it was going to be this big of a deal. But it certainly is exciting.
When you get calls like that, though, I mean, your mind's got to be going to, maybe in 5-10 years, I'd be running for something else. I mean, Tammy Baldwin's not going to be around forever.
This is true. I'm sure that Tammy Baldwin will not be around forever. But those are definitely some shoes that someone will have to fill. But right now, I want to make sure that I'm staying really focused on the people that I'm here to serve. And for right now, at very least, that's definitely the people of the city of Waukesha. I'm 36 years old. I've got a lot of life ahead of me. And right now, I'm very focused on serving the people of Waukesha. And I have no plans to do anything else right now.
Coming up on WTMJ Conversations.
I'll be honest, I learned pretty early on to avoid comment sections. People will post all kinds of stuff.
New Waukesha Mayor Alicia Halvinslaven reveals her reaction when a newspaper brought up an embarrassing story from her past.
You're listening to WTMJ Conversations.
And I'm Libby Collins. Our guest today is new Waukesha Mayor Alicia Halvinslaven. Like I said, the campaign. You got married during the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
It was a hard-fought campaign. I have to ask you this, Alicia.
Yeah.
During that campaign, the Waukesha Freeman dug up some things about you mm-hmm. from your past.
Yeah.
It's going to happen when you're in politics.
Sure.
I mean, were you surprised that was out there? And how, you know, it had to hurt
yeah.
to see something like that in the newspaper.
Yeah. I knew that that was out there. I knew that I had made a mistake when I was in my 20s. When the Freeman reached out at the very last minute like that, I was a little surprised maybe to put something like that in the paper at the last minute. Didn't feel like that was necessarily the most, you know, high integrity situation. But that said, I submitted my statement. I think that following the law is really important, and I want to make sure that people do that. And yeah, I made a mistake. It was almost 10 years ago now, and I have learned from that mistake. I paid my debt to society. I feel like I had moved on. It was unfortunate that that had to be dragged back up, but I'm human, and humans make mistakes.
You know, and in this day of the internet and social media, there were some other things that hit social media that, you know, some unflattering photos and things like that. Were those AI generated, or were those actually things that people had pictures of?
I'll be honest, I did not read the comments section. I learned pretty early on, just being an older person, to avoid comment sections. People will post all kinds of stuff, whether it's AI generated or digging up weird stuff. Generally, I just tried to avoid it. You know, some people are just out there because they want to stir something up. But I was very focused on my message, and that was serving the people of Waukesha.
That's got to hurt so much. I mean, especially, I can only imagine how your husband must have felt, because I'm sure he was very protective of you.
Yeah. I told him the same thing. I said, just stay out of the comments section. Nothing good can come from there. If other people want to duke it out in comments sections, that's fine. But yeah, I was pretty unaware of it. I, you know, like you said, I was knocking on 1,000 doors and making 3,000 phone calls. I also had a full-time job, so I didn't have time to sit in a comments section. So to say that it hurt, no, I didn't see most of it, so I couldn't tell you. I know that people have a tendency, when they are hidden behind a keyboard, to say the worst things, right? I think when I'm at a door, I'm most likely to get a polite person, but when somebody is anonymous behind a keyboard, people aren't always nice. And I guess my message would be that it isn't about me or what you said about me, but think about who else might see your comment, and know that there's somebody in your life who might also not look flattering in every single picture, and know that they can see your comments too. You know, to me, I've got a thick skin and I don't read the comments, but that doesn't mean that your family or friend or whoever might not see that you're calling somebody names on the internet.
Coming up on WTMJ Conversations.
I don't understand why we would sit on a pile of money when the money is needed somewhere.
Mayor Alicia Halvinslaven tells us what her agenda is for the city of Waukesha.
Now, more of WTMJ Conversations.
I'm Libby Collins. Today's conversation is with Waukesha Mayor Alicia Halvinslaven. Going forward, you're in a huge position. You've now got 72,000 people that you're responsible for.
Yeah.
Where do you plan on beginning? What's your greatest priority as you take that office this week?
Yeah. So I ran on the idea that we want to make sure that we're maintaining the services that we have in Waukesha. So the state mandates that we provide certain types of services like police, fire, garbage pickup, those sorts of things. I want to make sure that we are still able to maintain those services at a level that's acceptable, but also making sure that we have a balanced budget. Waukesha and municipalities and counties across the state are in a tight spot right now. We have state legislators that brag about a huge surplus, and then we have municipalities and counties who are trying to figure out, are we cutting something? Are we going to a referendum? Are we adding a county sales tax? Those are tough questions to ask, and those are tough questions or policies potentially that you have to talk to your voters about when we know that the money is there. We know that we as taxpayers have paid in. That money is our money that is the surplus in Madison. And to me, I don't understand why we would sit on a pile of money when the money is needed somewhere. And for me, the municipalities and the counties, they need that money.
You know, we talked at the beginning about your professional background. Mm-hmm. Being in the car business brought a particular set of skills to you, I would think.
Sure, yeah.
Are you looking forward to negotiating when it comes time to purchasing, you know, police cars or fire trucks for the city?
Well, you know, it's interesting when you think about these things. This is one of those things that maybe I was surprised about when I came onto the council. You'd be surprised what the lead times look like on those and how few real options we have. But I do think that one of the things that I'm most excited about negotiating isn't necessarily the price, because we do put that out, request for proposal, and there are certain things that we have to do and make sure that that's all negotiated out through the proper channels and then voted on by the council. But one of the things that I know I will be able to negotiate is with our state legislators and saying that we need to figure out a long-term solution. A little boost here and there does not solve our problem long-term. We have a broken formula for state aid that is not providing what we need for all the municipalities, and especially the city of Waukesha and Waukesha County. The system that we have doesn't work. And I think that we need to go back to the drawing board. And I'm excited to work, after the midterms and after we elect our new state senators and state assembly reps. I'm ready to get to work with them and say, we need to come up with something that is going to function well for our municipalities and for our counties and for the city of Waukesha.
Alicia Halvensleben.
Yep.
So nice to have you here.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
We've been talking with the new mayor of Waukesha, Alicia Halvensleben. She talked about her career before politics. She described what it was like trying to balance a wedding and an election at the same time. And she addressed that embarrassing story that was revealed just days before the election. Now, if you joined us late and you want to hear our entire conversation with Alicia, go to WTMJ.com and share today's show with your friends and family. You'll also find a partial transcript courtesy of eCourt Reporters. For WTMJ Conversations, I'm Libby Collins.